God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. And then verse 6. Praise God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hallelujah. Because he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hallelujah. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Amen. This is an awesome day today because this is a time where, as a nation, we stop and we pause in this coming week for Thanksgiving, just kind of commemorating that first Thanksgiving. And during that time, I just think it's really great that we actually have the ability as a nation to just pause. It is just such a nice time to pause and be thankful. And you've heard me say it many, many times from this pulpit that Thanksgiving is the language of faith. Well, we've been talking about a living faith and how to live that faith out and why it's so important that we would have strong faith. And in this series, we've been talking about how action is part of that and how not only connecting with God, what we just did, connecting with God in worship, connecting with God in prayer, by the new birth, first and foremost, that we are born again, because that's what Jesus told us we needed to be. We needed to be born again. We've got to have a relationship through Christ. It was Jesus who said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And so when we grasp this idea of living out our faith and living it in a strong way, we've talked about some of the illustrations I've brought to you, is that a threefold cord is not easily broken. And we talked about those three parts to a strong faith. Three parts to a strong faith would be connecting with God, number one. Connecting with his word, number two. Because faith comes, we know from Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes from hearing and continually hearing the word of God. And so when that's the reason why we gather together. It's the reason why we listen to sermons. It's the reason why we read the word of God, so that faith is built up on the inside of us. And we start to feel that faith rise in us. And then the third thing that we said was that we connect with his people. That's this idea of assembling together, connecting, and being that strong family of God. And learning what it means to be in community. Learning what it means to work with one another. And that's why it's a beautiful thing when we get together with the ukulele band, or when the youth group gets together and does something, whether it's serving at the food pantry or helping out at Septemberfest. There is a camaraderie, there is a community that's built that's unlike any other community that you might have experienced in your life. It is the family of God. And so we understand that that's how we have strong faith. And today I want to bring in this idea of Thanksgiving. How does Thanksgiving really work with us? Now, earlier in the service, I said, you know, Thanksgiving, or giving thanks without using your words, is just a nice thought. It just, oh, right? But what we want to do is we want to act worthy of the benefit. We want to actually put some action to our thankfulness. Now, in order for a flashlight to work, there's got to be a power source. And in this case, this is a whatever brand, LED, right? So this is pretty bright. It's pretty bright. But you have to have a power source, and that would typically be the batteries on the inside. For today's illustration, what I want you to do is I want you to think about faith being those batteries. Faith being the batteries. And if we are going to truly activate our faith, thanksgiving is when we turn on the switch and we start to thank God. And what shines out is praise to God. It's praise to God. What shines out in a dark world is praise to God. And the scripture bears this out. And James tells us in James chapter 1 that it is so important to put action to your faith. You can't just say, well, I have faith, and that's all there is. There's got to be action to your faith. I heard one minister say it this way. You cannot steer a parked car. All right, anybody ever tried to steer a parked car? All right. You know, you'll sit there, and especially the new cars that, you know, have you ever had your power steering go out? And then you feel like, oh my goodness. Well, it's very difficult to steer a parked car. You've got to have some motion going with it. Well, in the believer's life, the first motion is our words. The first motion is our words when we, and we just did it, just at an exercise of faith, we call Jesus our Lord. It is the first moment that we use our words, release our faith with our words. And our words say, Lord, I receive you and I believe you. And when we do that, what it does is it connects us to a life-giving faith, a life-giving faith. So when we're looking at the scripture, when it comes to our faith and how God wants to operate in our lives, he has so much for us. James chapter 2 and verse 18. James chapter 2 and verse 18. James tells us, show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. What's he talking about there? He is talking about action. Action has to go with your faith. So it's not enough just to say, well, faith is just between me and Jesus. You heard me say that last week, right? It's just me and Jesus. Well, no, it's more than just you and Jesus. It is always meant to be something that is public. I believe it was the enemy that started that lie that faith was a private thing. The enemy started that lie that faith is a private thing, and guess what he did? He got a bunch of Christians to be real quiet through that lie. A bunch of Christians got real quiet. Our words are how we release our thanksgiving. Our words are how we release and put action to our faith. Faith is trusting in God's power. It's trusting in the battery, if you will, that God is going to come through. He is not a man that he should lie. He's going to come through. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. So he's the one who starts it. He's the one who initiated it through Jesus. He sent his son while we were still sinners. How about that? And if when we sit there and sing what he's done, man. Jesus, hallelujah. What he's done. Where would you be? Where would you be? Would you even be alive? Would you even be alive right now? At some point, we released our faith. We connected with Almighty God through the new birth. We connected with his word. And even if we only knew just a little bit, maybe we only knew God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Ha! Woo! Isn't that powerful? What he's done. Oh, church, if we would understand the basic principles, and I believe you do, Westchester Family Church, you do, that when we When we activate our faith through our words, we start shining a light in a dark world. We start shining a light in a dark world. And what happens is it results in praise to God. It results in praise to God. Now, we started off with Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, right? It's impossible to please God. I don't know about you, but I want to please Him. I want to please Him. Now, turn with me quickly to Luke chapter 17. I want to illustrate how this all works together, especially when it comes to releasing our faith, when it comes to connecting with faith and then thanksgiving, having action to your faith with thanksgiving, and watch what happens. So in Luke chapter 17, and very often pastors will go to this passage on Thanksgiving sometimes, and I've even preached it, and I've preached it, and I wish I could go undo it. And some of us preachers, when we're younger, we kind of wish we could undo some of the things we preached, because the more light we got in the Word, we realized, ooh, I shouldn't have said that. Lord, forgive me and help me, right? Thank God for the Word, right? And thank God for the Holy Spirit that He teaches us, right? So in Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11, we want to talk about the lepers, the 10 lepers that were cleansed. And in verse 11, it says, "Now it happened, he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then he entered a certain village, and there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And so when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourself to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God." With a loud voice, glorified God. With a loud voice, hallelujah! Let me tell you something. If that was you, you would have done the same thing. You would have done louder than that. You would have done louder than that. You know, the enemy has tried to keep believers so quiet. And we have to open our mouths. We have to open our mouths and unashamedly lift our voice. Hallelujah. Do you know the book of Psalms in the Hebrew language? It is Tehillah. And Tehillah means to jump up and down and loudly proclaim praise. Loudly proclaim praise. If you read in the book of Revelation, man, I'll tell you what, that's going to be a loud place. It's going to be loud. And we're going to be singing, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, who was and is to come." And we are going to be singing loudly, 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000, declaring praise to the Lamb of God. So why don't we get used to opening our mouths, church? Why don't we get used to lifting our voice? Why don't we get used to letting people, they already talk about you. So don't worry about what people think. They already think you're boop. They do. It's all right. It's all right. Because, I want them to know I've been with Jesus. I want them to see something on my countenance. I want them to feel something in my words. I want them to know that when I walk into a room, that there is a presence other than Doug Mitchell in the room. I want them to feel the love of God. I want the enemy to say, "Ooh, I got to get out of here.
That's right.
Because I'm not welcome here." You see, that's where God's wanting all of his people to get to. All of us get to that point that when we mature in God and open up our mouth in praise, it is just as simple as connecting with that faith. Connect with the battery. Connect with it. Connect with it. You connect with faith. Now let's real quick look at this story, and then we're going to close because we've got an awesome day today. We've got action. You say, what do you mean action? We've got some young people that are giving action to their faith, and they're going to actually follow the Lord in baptism. They're going to be obedient to Him in baptism. And as they step out in faith, God's going to meet them in a supernatural way. Hallelujah. And they will never be the same. Never be the same. Never the same. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. I want you to see that these 10 lepers. Now, leprosy in that day, and perhaps you know this, and perhaps you've heard it. Leprosy in that day, if you had leprosy, you were banished. You were banished to the outside of the village. And you couldn't hold a job. You couldn't be with your family. Your skin, we're not talking about a simple case of eczema here. We are talking about you had a problem with your skin. I mean, body parts would drop off. I mean, your ear might fall off. Your some of your fingers would literally fall off. It was a terrible, terrible ancient plague that was on mankind. And according to Jewish law, they could not be around somebody else because they would be, if anybody touched them, they would have be considered unclean. And they would have to stay unclean for several days and go through ceremonial washing before they could come back. I'm just talking about a regular person. That's the reason why you couldn't be around your family. And so these 10 lepers have found themselves on the outside of the village. They probably have to beg for food. People throw them scraps. And they're a ragtag group of people. Some of them perhaps were part of the Hebrew, you know, congregation there. They were part of the temple congregation. But then the Samaritans, they were usually not welcome. But for whatever reason, God wanted us to know that a Samaritan was the one who turned back and gave thanks. So they're there in this enclave, and they hear Jesus is coming through. And one of the guys says, hey, I heard that guy Jesus. I heard he's coming through. Jesus is the living Word of God.
Yes.
I heard that wherever he comes, people's lives are changed.
Glory.
I heard that wherever he comes, I heard that even somebody got raised from the dead. I heard somebody got healed. I heard somebody got healed of blindness. I heard that. And so they're talking among themselves. They hear Jesus is coming through. And they say, oh, wait, I hear he's coming through. Let's go see. Now they can be around each other. But they have to be at a distance. And they're watching for him. They're watching for him. Hey, John, do you see him? I don't know. Do you see him? Wait. Here's a crowd. Here's Jesus. Hey, Jesus! Do you remember Elf? Santa! Right? I know you, right? This was far better than that. Because these men were seeing the living Word of God walk into their village. Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on us! They knew he couldn't touch them. So they just lifted their voice. They had enough faith to lift their voice. And where did they let it out? With their mouth. They opened their mouth. Church, open your mouth. Open your mouth and watch what God does when you speak words of thanksgiving and words of faith. And notice that they took action. They took action, right? They opened their mouth. Notice what happens. They ended up The next thing that happens is Jesus just basically calls over to them. What does he say? He says something really simple to them. Very simple. Okay, guys, make sure you get this. This is really easy. Go show yourself to the priest. Now, in their minds, that was a big deal. Because you don't go show yourself to the priest unless you already were healed. Unless you already saw something happen in your body. I want you to see where faith kicked in. They didn't see anything happening. They just got an instruction. They just got a simple instruction. Simple, but hard at the same time. Because they're going, wait a second. Bro, your ear is still off. Bro, you got a weird spot on your face right now. But you know what? All 10 of them decided to do something. All 10 of them decided. What if they didn't decide? Do you think they would have got healed? I don't think they would have. They decided because they put action to their faith. They turned that switch on. They turned that switch on, and what little bit of faith they had to yell, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," that was enough. That was enough, but then they had to act on the next step. And what was the next step? Go show yourself to the priest. I can imagine that while they're walking, hey, let's go. You going? I'm going. You going? I'm going. You going? I don't know. Yeah, I'm going. I'm going. We're all going. And they lifted up, kind of squared their chest. Let's go to the priest. And just as they stepped out, I believe that as soon as they stepped out, new skin starts to form. The man who had no ear. I'm imagining this. I don't know. We'll maybe see the video when we get to heaven. I'm believing. We're going to get to replay this and get to see it, right? We'll get to meet them and say, hey, what happened? Tell me. Tell me what happened. And all of a sudden, where the man had no ear, or maybe he had lost some fingers, all of a sudden, Jonas! Jonas, I have fingers! Elias, you got an ear back! I can see with both eyes! This was happening. Hallelujah. Because where faith is released, God always comes through. And he came through, and there is healing. And the only one turned around. Because he realized, I got my life back. I didn't just get my body back. I got my life back. I can go back to my family. I can go back and have a job. I can go back and feel like I'm a part of a community. I have been redeemed. I have been restored. And what does he do? He goes and he throws himself at Jesus' feet. Throws himself at Jesus' feet. And it says here, and he gave thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except a foreigner? And he said to them, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. We release our faith through words. We release our faith through praise. We release our faith through giving God glory, through giving him thanks. As I close with this scripture, Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances. And that does not say give thanks for the circumstances. It says give it in circumstances. There's a big difference. Because the enemy comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. When destruction's happened in my life, I don't thank God for the destruction. I thank God that he is my deliverer. I thank God, just like the 10 lepers. Jesus, I know you see me. And I give you praise. And I will turn around and I will give him praise and I will point back to Jesus. So when it says, give thanks in all circumstances. The Apostle Paul, at another point in his writing, said, I know what it means to be in plenty, and I know what it means to be in want. Right? But this I have found. He says, I have the secret. It's the secret in all situations. What is that? I'm going to just keep giving praise. I'm just going to keep giving praise. I'm just going to keep giving praise. We saw in Acts chapter 14 that at midnight, when their backs were bleeded and bloody, that they gave praise in the middle of, while they were in a circumstance, what were they doing? I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I may not see the answer right now, but it doesn't matter. I praise you. My eyes are only on you. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Lord, whatever you tell me to do in this circumstance that I'm in, I'm going to do it. You tell me to go left, I go left. You tell me to go right, I go right. You tell me to follow, I will follow. You tell me, and I know that the end result will be to your glory and your glory alone, and I give you praise. That is how you can release your faith, connect to the power source, connect to the power source. Let your faith loose these next couple of days. Let it be part of your lifestyle from here on out, that you just give praise. You might be having a rough day, but you still give praise. Hey, you just still give praise, right? You still give praise, right? That's right. I still give praise. So let's stand our feet. Let's give him some praise right now. You might be going through something this morning. You might be going through something. You might be stressed about something, anxious about something, worried about something. But let's lift our hands. And if you need to, close your eyes and begin to lift your voice and start to praise him. Let's just practice that. Just start to praise him. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I praise you. I magnify you. Lord, I thank you that you are a good God. You are a good God, and I thank you and I praise you, Lord God, that you have the answer. And Lord, I thank you that my answer is in your hands, and you will tell me steps where I can get that breakthrough, where I can get that answer, where I can see change in that situation, change in that relationship, change in those finances, change in my body, that arthritis has to go in the name of Jesus. Crohn's disease has to go in the name of Jesus. Right now, that back fracture's gotta go in the name of Jesus. That hand, our crippling arthritis, gotta go in the name of Jesus. Gotta go in the name of Jesus. That arthritis, gotta go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that anxiety, that fear, that depression, that worry, that's got to go in the name of Jesus right now. In the name of Jesus, we praise you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Thanksgiving is the language of faith. So let's practice that language. Ha ha! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We magnify you, Lord! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Hallelujah! 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 Praise God! Praise God! Praise God! Amen, amen, amen. Ha ha! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Doesn't that feel good? Don't you feel faith rising up in your heart? Ah, oh, Jesus, be glorified in our hearts right now. Right now, right now. Hallelujah. If any of you have you felt the power of God just at the end of that sermon or at the end of when I was just praying out and just speaking out, right now, if you just felt, I want you to just raise your hand, you felt a difference in your own life. Maybe you felt a healing, a physical healing in your life right now. Just raise your hand at me. Raise your hand. Ha ha! Praise God. He's working. Church, he's working. Anybody else? Anybody else? You want to give him praise? Haha. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. All right. Well, glory. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Well, we have our sending out verse right now. We're going to have a chance to fellowship with one another. I want you to tell somebody what Jesus is doing in your life. And we're going to have our fall luncheon. We're going to have our ukulele practice. We're going to be putting together some things for the Mount Kisco tree lighting. And we're believing God to shine the light in our community. Amen. Oh, yes.